This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia. This passage from Luke 24 is like my all-time favorite. I love this passage. In fact, I love it so much that this passage I have chosen for what, Father Matthew?
I believe that's for your funeral.
Yes, for my funeral. So you'll hear it again in about 50 years, hopefully. Because this passage, for me, for really my whole life, has like encapsulated what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a priest, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple, what it means for us to walk with Jesus in our struggles, to know that Jesus is with us even when we don't recognize him with us, to experience then how the community gathers together, and when we gather together, and when we gather and we take bread and we bless it and we break it and give it, that we can recognize in our very midst that we see him not, Jesus. And therefore, today, I hate this passage. It breaks my heart. Because this passage should only be proclaimed and reflected on, I think, when there's a billion people gathered together. And today there's like the two of you and you, who I live with and see all the time. Great to see the Helmlers here. Evie, Charlie, and Will, welcome home from college, or they'd rather be in college. And so it's just so weird. It's a weird passage to read, to share, to proclaim this passage when the church echoes and when the breaking of bread is for so few members of our community. We were hoping. The apostles, Cleopas and his friend, maybe his spouse, maybe a sister or brother, maybe another disciple, are walking. They're downcast, they're bummed because their friend, the prophet Jesus, whom they loved, was dead. And they're wrestling with all this stuff, and they're wrestling with what they had hoped, with how their lives were going to be with Jesus. And now what they had been hoping for isn't happening. And so they're reflecting on that. They're walking on this dusty road from Jerusalem to this little village 7 miles west up in the hills called Emmaus. You can almost see and you can feel the heat of the day as they're walking along mile after mile, and they're chatting, and all of a sudden this fellow shows up. They don't recognize him, which sometimes happens. You know, the other day I was at Jerry's getting some food, and no one recognized me. And I said, how come no one says hi to me? It's because I've got this on. I don't know if Jesus had one of these on. Probably not. But he too was not being recognized. And not being recognized must have felt weird for him, because everybody knew Jesus. But they didn't. And he was right there. And during this time, Jesus very patiently, I mean, it was 7 miles. You think my homilies are long? 7 miles, that's a long reflection on the Word of God. So I want no one ever complaining about how long my homilies are. And what's so sad right now, if I had said it on Sunday, we'd all go, ha, 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 and at least you two laughed. Thank you. But Jesus reflects on it and helps them to reorientate their hope. Because see, hope for us so often is about right here, right now. I hope it's sunny out. I hope I pass my test. I hope my day is going to be great. I hope the next song I like at Mass. I hope that we can have all these hopes. And they're all often for me very tangible, material, immediate. There's a hope that Jesus wants you and me to have. And that's a hope that's eternal. It's a hope that we begin to experience now, but it won't be realized until the day, the moment, we take our final breath. And at that moment, God willing, we won't need hope because we'll be in the presence of the glorified Christ. In the meantime, we have hope. We have this incredible hope that God wants to give to you and to me. And so I know that one of the things that we want to do and one of the things that we hope for is that we can receive the Eucharist. We can extend our hands and the priest can say, the body of Christ, and we all cry out, amen. And what a glorious day that will be, but today, a few of us. And so I want to invite us to get on the road to Emmaus. It's a long road. See, I want to invite us to get on that road to Emmaus and to open up the scriptures, to get your Bible out, and to begin to read it. Read your Bible every day. If it's at 2 a.m. when you're going to bed and you realize you haven't read something from the Bible, well, go find your Bible, dust it off, and read it. And then during this time, let's not only read the Bible, read the scriptures, let's study it. Let's study it. Let's begin to ponder it. I mean, because I have studied this passage of the road to Emmaus, I feel like I can walk it. But let's just read it. Let's study it. Let's examine it so that we can begin to live it. We can live the scriptures. We can live realizing that God is with us on that dusty road in our lives. We can live it realizing that Jesus doesn't abandon us even when I am oblivious to his presence. We can live it and know that God is with us, and we can have that hope that even when like the world is dark and gloomy and COVID-19 goes on, and to me it seems like it's going on for way too long, that God is still with us. And so study it and read it and live it so much that the Word of God, who is Jesus, begins to shape our lives, form our lives, our todays and our tomorrows, so that the Word of God is not something distant and living the Christian life is not something for the future, but we begin to realize the Word and how we live our lives has an impact right here, right now. Let's ponder God's Word so deeply that we will be like those disciples and we'll go, uh-oh, when I'm with God, when I really ponder him, something begins to burn in my life, my heart. Many, 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 many years ago, I was in first grade. Our Lady of Good Counsel, who knew I'd be at Our Lady of Grace, don't remember my principal's name back then, but we've got the best principal here, Mrs. Chinnery. She's joining me for Zoom Donuts. But when I was in first grade, I was a good boy, at least some of the times. At least one of the things I was good at was being at school. In fact, during first grade, I didn't miss a single day. And I wasn't even tardy once. And so at the end of the school year, my teacher, Mrs. Patricia, she said to me and two others, that you have been here every single day, and so you get a little prize. Because we had been there every day and not had been tardy even once. I don't know how that happened. Obviously, it was my mother, not my dad, who took us to school. Because with my dad, we'd still be gone our way. And so I received this statue of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's some 50 years old now, because that's like a long time ago. And this statue has been with me, and somehow yesterday as I was looking for something, I came across it. And what's kind of cool about this statue is it's seen better days. Like the back of it is broken. And you can see right here where I wanted to have a light behind it. So I didn't have a light. This is before night lights. I'm old. So I taped a birthday candle there and lit it. It melted the plastic. It's fallen a few times. In fact, the hand of Jesus is broken. But right here, his Sacred Heart. His Sacred Heart burning. His Sacred Heart burning for you and for me. His Sacred Heart burning, inflamed for us. Inflamed for us. I believe Jesus wants to give to you and to me a heart that burns like his own, burns for one another, burns for Jesus' presence on the way, not just when we're at church, not just when we receive the Eucharist, but always, always. And so today, let's ask God for that grace, to have a heart that, like Jesus's, burns, is inflamed, enlivened, the love of God, the love of our Savior, a love that we can experience his love for us and our love for him. I believe God wants to give it to you and to me. Amen. Alleluia.